The average credit card late fee is now as high as $35, and that's just one of many fees you could be paying if you're not careful. Hi, I'm Rob West. Credit card companies make billions each year in interest charges and other fees, but almost all of them can be avoided. I'll tell you how to stop paying unnecessary credit card fees today. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Proverbs 21:20 tells us, "Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it." With a little planning and oversight, you can prevent credit card fees from devouring your treasure, and some of them you may not even be aware of. Obviously, the biggest fee you'll ever pay on a credit card is interest, which now averages around 24% of your remaining balance. That means if you carry a balance of $1,000, you'll pay $240 a year in interest alone. This is why it's so important to pay your balance off in full each month. If you have to adjust your budget to pay extra each month, you should do it as soon as possible. And remember, the interest you pay on the balance will more than wipe out any rewards you receive for using a credit card, so don't be fooled. Now, some credit cards have annual fees. It's a surcharge that you have to pay just for the privilege of using the card. While some cards with annual fees might charge as little as $35, others may ding you for as much as $500. Either way, you don't want to pay an annual fee, and you don't have to. Cancel that card and look around for one with no annual fees. And while those cards may give more rewards, remember, it won't matter if you carry a balance. Late fees are something else you don't want to pay. They could run as high as $30 for a first-time offense and go up to $40 the second time you're late making a payment. You can avoid late fees in any number of ways. Sign up for text alerts when a credit card bill is due. You can also set a reminder to alert you each month before the due date. You can even make a payment each time you use the card for an equal amount to the charge. That way, you'll never have a minimum amount due. You can set up an automatic payment from your checking account if you carry a balance, which again, you want to pay off as quickly as possible. Here's something else to avoid. Cash advance fees. Check your credit card agreement. You might find there's a fee for taking a cash advance, an even higher interest rate on the amount you take out in cash. And the transaction doesn't even have to result in you actually getting cash. This fee could also be charged for getting money orders, exchanging foreign currency, wire transfers, sending money to a friend using an app, and making an auto loan payment. You can avoid cash advance fees by simply having cash on hand to meet any of those needs. Again, adjust your budget so you have margin. That's money left over after paying all of your bills, so you'll never need a cash advance. Okay, another one you never want to pay is a returned payment fee. Your bank will charge you a fee if you bounce a check. Everybody knows that. But if a check is going to a credit card company for a monthly payment and it bounces, the card issuer may also charge you a fee for a returned payment, which could be as high as $40. And if that mess results in a late payment, well, we've already told you about that one. There's really only one way to avoid returned payment fees, and that's by always having enough money in your checking account to make necessary payments. The only way to make sure that happens is by living on a budget, and if you're not, download the FaithFi app, and it will help you set one up in no time. Then stick to it. Another charge you're likely to incur if you're not living on a budget is an over-the-limit fee. That's when you've maxed out a card and you keep using it. In many cases, the transaction will be declined, but there may also be a fee attached, and it could run from $25 to $35. Now, you may be able to sign up for over-limit protection with your card issuer, but that's really just treating the symptom. You never want to carry any balance on your card, let alone the maximum balance. So the best way to avoid over-the-limit fees is to pay off your balance. By the way, carrying a balance in excess of 30% of your available credit will negatively affect your credit score, another reason to avoid carrying a balance. Okay, we've gone over a whole batch of credit card fees you want to avoid, but it's not a complete list. Your card issuer may be able to charge you for other things like replacing your card, opting for paper statements, or increasing your credit limit. Again, check your agreement to see what possible fees are in the fine print. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000 for any financial topic. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When you think of romantic days, you probably think of Valentine's or a specific anniversary, but I believe spring as a whole is quite romantic, beautiful even. The blooming of the flowers after months of being dormant, the new life that we notice, baby birds, rabbits, squirrels, the Bible recognizes the beauty of springtime. In fact, in the Song of Solomon, we hear the husband trying to lure his wife outside. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come. These words have a deeper spiritual significance. One day the husband of the church, Jesus Christ, will come to his church and say, "Join me, winter's over, the new creation has come." Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit GetAnchored.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Eternity is a very long time. So when it comes to your eternal future, you'd better place your trust in someone who knows what they're talking about. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress shares what Jesus himself said about eternity for both believers and unbelievers. Don't miss the conclusion of our series titled Perfect Ending, this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. All right, it's time to turn the corner and take your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Again, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's begin today in Mississippi, Ann. You'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Yes. I don't really know how to word it except that my daughter sent me something off of Facebook. There was a clip of Glenn Beck speaking about how in the near future, he doesn't know when, but the dollar is going to fail and we need to be prepared or we'll end up like Venezuela. Mm-hmm. But he didn't tell how to prepare. And, right. And he's not the only one that's saying the dollar's going to crash or whatever. I mean, I don't, for lack of a better term, I don't really know how to say it, but hopefully you know what I mean.
I do, and I appreciate the question. I mean, I
don't know what it is the clip said. I will say Glenn Beck has said a lot of things for a long time that haven't come true, but it doesn't mean that there's not some basis for what he's talking about here in terms of where we're headed as a country. Now, do I believe the U.S. dollar or the U.S. economy is imminently going to fail? No. Clearly the U.S. is in first position by far economically. We're the biggest and strongest economy in the world. The U.S. dollar is still the world's reserve currency. That's not going to change anytime soon. This would be troubling, perhaps, if there was another currency that could step into the role of the world's reserve currency. The reality is that's just not the case. There is not another currency on the planet today that has any sense of being able to replace what we're able to do. Nearly 60% of the global currency reserves are in dollars. The euro is in second place with only 20%. And consider that 90% of all foreign transactions involve the U.S. dollar. So, we're still in a position that no one else can rival. And yet, I think in many ways, we've mismanaged the responsibility that we have and the opportunity that we have here in the United States with regard to our economy and our currency by overspending, by running up massive debt, now over $30 trillion. The fact that we're not far away from our interest payments being our largest federal expense in this country, our monetary supply, we've had easy money, which has led to high inflation. We've suppressed interest rates. I think the Federal Reserve has made some decisions that certainly are in question. So what does that mean for us? Well, I think, first of all, what it means is it doesn't change the fact that we're all responsible for our own economies, first and foremost. So the big question is, what passes through our hands and how do we faithfully manage that? And so that's why we have this program to help you go back to God's word, pull those principles out that you can apply to your everyday financial decisions, because that's what you're tasked with as a manager of God's resources, to be found faithful, to spend less than you earn, to avoid debt, to set long-term goals, to have some margin or liquidity in your financial life, and to give generously, because that breaks the grip of money over your lives. Now, that doesn't mean we bury our head in the sands, but I think any potential major problem, which would probably most likely look like a debt default, what we're facing in June with the debt ceiling, that's going to be a political football that will go back and forth, and we'll end up pushing that up. The bigger issue that we have to solve for is just our incredible federal spending right now, the fact that our U.S. national debt continues to climb, and it will be problematic for us, especially given the demographics in this country and the fact that we're not replacing the workers that are retiring. Now, again, we're still an incredibly strong economy. There's a lot going for the United States. We're innovating, and we have an opportunity to work our way out of it, but our backs are going to be against the wall. We're going to have to make some hard decisions, and I think that's why we need to be voting for godly leaders that understand God's design for economics and wealth creation, and that people were created as a blessing, not a curse, and we were created to be workers, and there's a virtuous cycle of productivity and economic expansion and generosity, giving back to the God that created us, that ultimately is how God designed us to live and work and for economies to function. And when we violate that, there are consequences. But I think they're much further down the road. So what I would say to you, Ann, is manage your money according to the way God has instructed us that we find in His Word. And let's continue to watch. And, if there is going to be major problems, I think they're a good bit further down the road. But let's try to avoid that by praying for our leaders and voting for those that understand God's perspective of economics and wealth creation. Does that make sense, though?
Yes, it does, and I've been taking notes. But what could you recommend as preparations? I know some people say about gold and silver, but I remember Dan Celia, he would say, well, what are you going to do, take a bar of gold to the grocery store and pay for a loaf of bread?
Yeah, that's one of the challenges. And, you know, gold does well in times of fear and economic uncertainty, which we are in right now, and certainly headed for a recession, which is why gold is, you know, sky high right now in terms of price. So what I would say is what you should do is the range of precious metals that you and hopefully your advisor settled on for your portfolio, which for most people I would say was between 5 and 10% of your investable assets. This is probably a time to be at the upper end of your range, but it's not a time to be highly concentrated in gold. It's not a time to pull everything out of the banking system. It's not a time, in my view, even to get out of the market because stocks are on sale right now. And, you know, this market will come back. Remember, it looks out 6 to 12 months. So the market will recover well ahead of the economy. We've just got to get into this recession, figure out how deep it's going to be. We got to know that the Fed's done raising interest rates and that they're coming down and inflation is back under control. And I think this market will take off. So I would say stay the course, keep a long-term perspective, keep your money in the bank, don't overweight in gold, but have a reasonable allocation to gold and silver as a part of a well-diversified investment strategy.
Would you recommend that for a 70-year-old to have 5 to 10%?
I would. Yes, ma'am. I think that is a prudent approach to a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. Of course, it's all dependent upon your, you know, your goals and how much you have and how much income you need from those assets. So that's why I think it's never a bad idea to have a financial advisor that can counsel you and walk through this with you. But yes, I think short answer is, apart from knowing all the details in your situation as a rule of thumb, that does make sense for a 70-year-old investor.
And what was the website you gave yesterday, I think, about how you could find a financial advisor that will invest in biblical and not invest in non-biblical things and at a good rate, though, not charge exorbitant fees.
Yes, ma'am. We recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. These are men and women who've met high standards in character and competence. They've had a pastor reference and a client reference. They've signed a statement of faith. They've been trained to bring biblically wise financial advice, and they have significant experience. There's 1,300 of them across the country. You can find one in your area, and I would recommend you interview two or three before you settle on the one that's the best fit. A couple of questions you'd want to ask is, one, can you help me align my values with my investments? Most of them do what we call faith-based investing, or what you might have heard of Dan called biblically responsible investing. And then secondly, you're going to want to know how they get compensated. They're all different. They set their own fee schedule. So head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And just click the button that says Find a CKA. Stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. You could do a zip code search, interview two or three, and find the one that's the best fit. And thanks for being on the program today. Shonda, Stephen, Brunny, we're coming your way right after the break. More of your calls just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day. Banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. Hey, we started today by talking about avoiding credit card fees. Yeah, you need to be really careful in using credit cards first, only for budgeted items, right? And when we can't pay them off in full at the end of the month, well, we cut them up. Or as Larry Burkett used to say, turn the oven up to 350, put them on a cookie sheet and stick them in the oven. You know, whatever your method is, the key is to avoid the danger of debt if we can't manage it responsibly. But if we're using it for budgeted items and if we're paying it off, it can be very convenient to be able to do business, to be able to get even some rewards. And we talked today about some of the fees you might encounter. By the way, more and more folks are wanting to align their values with the companies they do business with, and particularly in this area of credit cards. If you're looking for a cash rewards credit card, but with a credit union that shares your values, and in fact, where every dollar in purchases allows a portion of it to go to incredible Christian ministries all over the world doing work in the name of Jesus, you ought to check out our friends at Christian Community Credit Union. You can learn more about CCCU and their cash rewards Visa at joinchristiancommunity.com. Check it out today. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's see, we're going to head to Shonda in Mississippi. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. So I think I've kind of messed up on getting some land deeded to me. My mother has about 52 acres, and I was intending on building, but plans have changed. She had the land in a trust, and then she and I've got two questions on that. She changed the trust to me, but I never signed any paperwork. She said that there was no need to that. But then also, when she informed her financial advisor at Edwards Jones, he stated something to her to the fact that, well, I would have to pay capital gains tax on the land, which if I ever sold it, which I understand that, but the way he made it sound is that I would have to pay it twice.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what he was referring to there. Is your mother still living?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
She's still living.
All right. And so have you already, who's the property deeded to currently?
Me.
Okay. And so how was it deeded to you? Did she do a quick claim deed, or how was it transferred to you?
See, I wasn't with her, okay. Unfortunately, when she did it.
Well, what he's probably...
Yeah,
what he's probably referring to is, unfortunately, if you would have waited and received it as an inheritance, either through a will, through the probate process, or through a transfer on death deed where it passed to you following your mom's passing, which I realize she's still living, but if that was the way it was set up, or if it was in a trust and you were the beneficiary of a trust, then you enjoy what's called a stepped-up basis at that point, where the cost basis would be stepped up to the market value as of the date of her death.
the problem with the way it's currently unfolded is because it's been transferred to you prior to her death, you're going to keep her original cost basis. So what he may be talking about, the fact that you will be paying more in the way of capital gains, because when you sell it, the capital gains will be calculated off her original purchase price plus any improvements that have taken place, as opposed to a stepped up basis, which would come through an inheritance. Does that make sense?
Okay. It does. Now, second question is, can we go back and reverse that? Since the decision was made that I'm not going to build on the property.
Yeah, I don't believe so. That would be a good question, though, to ask an estate attorney. I think once that transfer has occurred, you can't unwind that. But I would check with an estate attorney. If you don't have one, you could reach out to a certified kingdom advisor in your area and ask for a referral to a godly estate attorney. And it would be a good time to update wills and make sure you have other documents in place, like a living will or a healthcare surrogate, that type of stuff. But unfortunately, I think it's too late at this point. But I would let an attorney tell you that. We appreciate you calling today, Shonda. If we can help you further, let us know. 800-525-7000. Bruni is in Philadelphia. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. I'm so happy to talk to you. You guys are awesome.
Well, thank you.
I'm a single grandmother raising two grandchildren and living just by the grace of God. But every month I have $100 left after I pay all the bills and everything. And I would like to know, how can I invest that so we can get more money for the kids and me?
Oh, wow.
That's all I have.
I'll tell you what, Bruni, you're doing the Lord's work there. A single grandmother raising two small children, getting by on a limited income, you know, trying to be a wise steward of God's resources. What an encouragement and a blessing you are to each of us as we just hear a small part of your story. Have you looked into potentially any support that could be coming your way from, you know, the government or otherwise, just to help you make ends meet as you care for these children?
No, I don't.
So okay, you may be eligible for some government assistance programs, and you know, I would certainly look at that. In terms of how to use the $100, and kudos to you for being able to live on a modest income within your means and still have a margin, you know, that's great. Do you have what I would call an emergency fund where you've put away some liquid savings for the unexpected?
No, there's zero in everything.
Okay, yeah. So I wouldn't be thinking about investing, and I'm not saying you've done a bad job. I wouldn't have expected you to, but this helps me answer your question. I wouldn't be thinking about investing that money. I would just be automatically transferring every month you've got that 100 left, automatically transferring that to a savings account. I'd open a high-yield online savings account like at Marcus or Capital One 360, and then just automatically transfer electronically that money over. You're going to get about 4% interest, but the key is you're going to protect the money so it's there when you need it. And let's just try to build that up every month as you're able. Also, make your church available or aware of needs that you have so they can step in and be the hands and feet of Jesus. God bless you and all your work. And if we can help further, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program.
For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
When we follow Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. We focus less on ourselves and more on God's kingdom. In Michael Blue's book, Free to Follow, we're reminded to surrender everything to Jesus and follow Him. Free to Follow explores what the Bible says about money and possessions and challenges you to rethink the way you view and use them. Request a copy of Free to Follow with your gift of any amount to faithfi.com/follow.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, in this program, we recognize that one of the key ways God shapes our spiritual journey is through our financial journey. You see, that tangible expression every day of determining what we value and where we've placed our trust and how we're going to allocate God's resources and whether we're going to pursue the eternal or the temporal is really one of the ways we work out our faith. And that's why we go back to God's Word to renew our minds and understand God's heart for our role in managing His money, because we're stewards of the King of Kings' resources. So we want to unpack the big ideas that God has for us in His Word, which is that we can't serve God and money. We have to choose. We want to keep God in His rightful place, and we don't want to allow money to really rob us of the 30, 60, 100-fold return we see in the parable of the sower because of the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things. Instead, we want to handle money in such a way that it's evident that God is our true treasure, and that's what we help you do on this program each day. Hey, we'd love to hear from you today to hopefully be an encouragement and a help to you in your financial journey. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Texas. Stephen, thank you for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
It's fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm kind of in a quandary now to ask you a question, because the lady, I don't know, about three people back, you said that everything was going to work out, get back into the stock market. You know, everything's kind of okay. It's going to work itself out. If you follow biblical prophecy, we're in the birth pains. In other words, things are getting worse exponentially and faster. They don't slow down.
Sure.
It was like, let me just use one little example, then I'll ask my question. It's in the beginning, probably 10 years ago, everybody was saying, don't hoard up food. Don't do this. Don't do that. That's just like you were downplaying Glenn Beck. That's just conspiracy theories. But I took it to heart according to the Bible, and now I've got enough to last me, oh, probably a year and a half, simply canned stuff, you know, like the people in Ohio do. And I don't have to go to the grocery store and pay $75 for a brisket.
Yeah.
The overpriced inflation prices. So it was a good thing.
Sure.
My question now is, and I hope I didn't offend you.
I'd love to be able to respond to that, but go ahead and finish your question.
Well, I heard in the news that there were either the federal government, I think is what it is, was offering CDs, very short-term CDs,
yeah,
like 7 to 8 months to mature at around 7% interest return. Have you heard of this?
Well, let me answer that, and then I'll come back to your original comments. And by the way, you didn't offend me at all. It's a great conversation and one that's worthwhile. And we all need to be, I think, discussing as the appropriate, what is the appropriate response, especially as believers, because one of the roles of money is not only a tool to accomplish God's purposes and to provide for our family, but it's a testimony to the world. The world is watching how we handle his resources. So this is an important conversation. As to these high yield interest rates, typically you'll find them it's a special offer from a credit union, usually that's local or regional. They may be looking at an incentive to just try to build their depositor base or something. It's, you know, a lot of times there's some, you know, significant stipulations, minimum deposits. There may be, you know, other things required. So I would just take a look at it. As long as it's insured by the NCUA or the FDIC for a bank, I'm okay with it. I mean, right now the prevailing rates for even the online banks with FDIC insurance are at about 4%, which is about the best you can do. You get up into 6-7%, I start asking some questions. Who is it? Why are they doing it? What is the guarantees and protection? So I'd just be careful there. But the good news is you can get some attractive interest rates today if you're willing to do your homework. As to your original comment, let me just maybe clarify a couple of things. Number one is I'm not saying, oh, everything's going to be fine. It's all going to work out. No, we have read the end of the story. We know ultimately Jesus will return. We know things likely, we read the scriptures in terms of where things are headed in the end times. What I'm commenting on is in terms of the state of the U.S. economy today, I'm just saying I don't think any kind of economic collapse, any banking collapse, any collapse of the U.S. dollar is imminent, which would mean that we would go pull our money out of the banks. We'd exit the U.S. stock market, anything like that. I think anything that could happen, and I think we're on a path where a debt crisis, a sovereign debt crisis, is now plausible here in the United States, whereas you had asked me a decade ago, I would have said no. I think it's plausible, but I think it's further down the road, and I think it's all about timing. I mean, Larry Burkett called for the coming economic earthquake in the 80s. I think he was right on every bit of it, except the timing. And he even said, I don't know when this could happen. I might be off on the timing. I think the same is true for Glenn Beck. Again, there's a lot of truth behind it. I'm not saying he's misleading anyone necessarily, and we'd have to look at each of the claims. The question is about timing. Is a collapse imminent? And is it prudent right now to pull all of your money out and put it under the mattress, especially with high inflation? And I would say, for me, the answer is no. I think we're still on a solid footing as the largest economy in the world, even though we've made poor decisions and our debt is skyrocketing. There's no second alternative for the U.S. dollar on the world stage at this point. There's not another economy that rivals ours. I think we will hit a recession, but I think the market will recover. And so your very best place to build wealth over the next, 10, 20, 30 years, I think, is still in the U.S. stock market with a properly diversified portfolio, as opposed to pulling it out, sticking it all in gold, which I don't know how you use that to conduct business if you've got gold bars in your house, or sticking it under the mattress or burying it in the backyard. The loss of purchasing power through inflation, given the fact that I don't think there's an imminent, problem, is what I'm contrasting. I'm not in any way saying it's all conspiracy theory and everything's going to be fine and we should stick our head in the sand for the next 50 years. Does that make sense?
In a way, but it's almost like I would be sticking my head in the sand if I said I don't watch the news. I watch it very close,
yeah.
And China's trying to take over the world's currency. They're trying to be the superpower, and they're very close to it.
Yeah.
The Democrat-run government right now, we are just about sunk with the amount of trillions of dollars in debt. If our debtors call in our debt, we're sunk.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the key for that is you should watch the news and you should show up at the polls and vote. And as I said earlier in the program, vote for God-fearing people who understand his design for economics and wealth creation so we can make some changes. I don't think this ship has sailed. I think we can put people in power that understand that, God is on the throne, that people were created as a blessing to be workers and to be productive and to take his creation and improve it. And that includes economic expansion, and there's a virtuous cycle, and with that we keep interest rates low, not because they're artificially kept low, but because they reflect what's actually going on in the system, and we give back to the God who created us. That's the way God designed economics, and that's who we need to be voting for, in my opinion, in terms of following biblical principles of economics, which is why we don't put our heads in the sand. But I think the question is, given everything you just said, what do you do about it? And at the end of the day, that's a conviction that you need to have and I need to have and every listener needs to have. So what do we do with this information? And what I'm saying is, for me, my conviction is not to go to my bank, pull it all out, put it under the mattress and stick it all in gold and stock up on canned goods so I can be completely insulated from the world. I just don't have that conviction today, and I don't think that's going to be the right approach long term. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
As Christians, we cannot redefine marriages because ours do not turn out according to God's standard. We have to aim for the mark. And the mark, it's not happily ever after. This is a picture of Christ in the church. So God has invited us as two individuals becoming one to be a living billboard of what he did for us.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, just reflecting on our last call, I think at the end of the day, the key idea is that as believers, we want to demonstrate that our trust is completely in the Lord. God is our provider. He will never abdicate that responsibility to the U.S. government, to our employer, to anyone. It's him that gives us the power to even create wealth. Everything we have is a gracious gift from the Lord. So the question is, how can I be a faithful steward? And I think that starts on my knees, asking the Lord, what would you have me to do? Listening clearly and intently, and then following his lead. And ultimately, we have to establish our own convictions as stewards of God's resources as to what he's leading our family to do. We know, looking at Scripture, that we're to live appropriately and give generously. And I think we have to have contentment, and we need to be willing to share with other people on our path. We need to be fixed on the eternal, not the temporal. But whether it comes, you know, what that looks like for our investment portfolios, how we deploy our capital to be a part of human flourishing and to grow God's resources, at the same time recognizing the challenges around us, that's ultimately, I think, a conviction matter that we each need to establish before the Lord. I would never propose that I have all the answers, but I know that God's Word does, And I know that we don't know when Jesus is returning. And so we have to navigate that with wisdom and grace and try to be a blessing to people around us as we journey through this life and ultimately handle our money in such a way that God is our true treasure and that we are dependent on Him alone, not the U.S. economy, not the stock and bond market. That can all be reduced to rubble, and it will be in a matter of time. And the question is, how can I be found faithful in my life, which the Bible calls a vapor? It's going to come and go in an instant. And yet, I can be connected into God's grand story through my giving. I don't have enough time here to make a real impact apart from connecting my life into what God's doing from everlasting to everlasting. And so for each of us, I think we need to make this a matter of prayer. We need to be an encouragement to one another. We need to be listening and watching and yet being found faithful in whatever God has called us to. And I hope that's an encouragement to you today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Let's try to move through these questions as quick as we can between now and the end of the program to Mississippi. Glenn, thanks for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call there. Sure. I was looking into revocable trust, and for the life of me, I really think that's the way to go versus a will, simply because it avoids probate and costs and other things, although it does take a little money to set up a revocable trust. But I also read about an irrevocable trust, and that really is what caught my eye to begin with, is that, of course, once an asset is placed into that irrevocable trust, I myself, I can never grab hold of it and that's profit right. from it again. And that's fine with me because I have a home that I would like to set up. You might say it's kind of like a safe haven for my kids if you know, they go astray or something like that. And my grandmother did that for her 10 children, and two of them ended up living there their whole life, and the other.
Oh, I think we lost you, Glenn. Are you still with us? All right, I think we lost Glenn. Let me just comment, or Glenn, are you there? All right, let me just, oh, I think you're back. My apologies. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things about an irrevocable trust I found interesting, and I'd like to maybe have you comment on it, is that I can appoint, it seems like I can appoint a trustee, and even if I chose to move geographically in the country, which I don't, I mean, I plan to make this my last stop here, but it seems like I could appoint a trustee and have them sell my home here. And then buy me another home in another state if I wished.
Yeah.
And it was still would not be fine. But
yeah. Well, let me comment on that. You know, I agree with you. The trust does make some sense. If you want to avoid probate, you want to be able to control that asset prior to death if you're incapacitated, beyond your life, if you want certain triggering events to cause the, you know, the passing of your assets, including this home, at a date beyond your death. I mean, there are benefits and efficiencies you would gain through a trust, even though, yeah, it's going to cost you probably a couple of $1,000 to set it up. I think the question is, you know, is there a benefit of an irrevocable trust in your situation? The vast majority of people who use trusts as an estate planning tool use a revocable trust simply because you can avoid the probate process. You can transfer the assets to your heirs. You can continue using and managing the assets without restriction. You can change it at any time. You know, and things do change. You can, you know, own real estate in multiple states and avoid ancillary probate in a state other than the one where you live. I mean, you get all of those benefits. The thing with an irrevocable trust is, you know, if you would typically only use that if your assets were higher than the federal estate tax exemption and you would want to avoid estate taxes because you actually are losing control of that asset and removing it from your estate. But that's at $12 million for an individual, $24 million for a couple. So most folks don't have to think about that. The other reason you do it is if you're comfortable giving up control after you establish the trust, and perhaps you want to protect it from future creditors, which a revocable trust would not necessarily be. So those would be the only reasons to do it. But I think if you're just using it generally as an estate planning tool, I'd far prefer you have the ability to make changes through the revocable trust than I would you completely losing control through the irrevocable. Does that make sense?
It does, absolutely. And then if I could just comment, like on the previous caller, number one, I agree with you. I see business going on. I've lived through, I think, what they call Black Thursday, like in 1987, where the stock market plunged, 2008, where the stock market plunged, 2020, where the stock market plunged. And I'm sure we'll have other times where the stock market will plunge. And depending on who you listen to during those times, just like some shady televangelist, you'll be doing things that you will regret. Instead, whenever the stock market plunges, as I've told people, like back in March of 2020, buy, because and nearly everything that anybody bought in March of 2020 has gone up. You know, it's made the exception of Carnival Cruise Lines.
Yeah, and Enron. Yeah, no, I appreciate that perspective, Glenn. We appreciate you weighing in. I want to try to get to a couple of additional calls before we round out the program today. God bless you, my friend. By the way, I would get with a godly estate attorney to help you navigate making those final decisions on that estate plan. Elijah in Kentucky, go ahead, sir.
First of all, as usual, you have an excellent program. You have to extend it one more hour, Rob.
Thank you.
I just want to comment on the last caller. What makes our country different? We are the greatest country on the planet, the most generous country on the planet, the richest country on the planet. They've been saying our country going to collapse the last 50 years. That never happened. And I just want to remind the gentleman, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. We're still okay, in my opinion, sir.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thanks for your kind remarks. And again, I think you're right in the sense that we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. We've been in the birth pangs for 2,000 years. The end times are coming. We don't know when. Bible's clear about that. And so I think at the end of the day, it's about our trust being in Him and handling money according to how He would have us to do it, which starts with His word. But I think for each steward, it does mean that we need to be asking the Lord, what would you have me to do? And then following that, and ultimately it's about making sure that we're handling money in such a way that it demonstrates our true trust in Him and is evidence to the world of that trust as well. Elijah, thanks for being on the program. Let's finish up in Virginia. Claude, go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm 78 years old. I'm in very good health, but I'm considering putting my daughter's names on my real estate property deeds. Is there a real advantage to that or not?
There really isn't. I mean, I would much prefer, and this is always a good question for an estate attorney who can really advise you legally, but I would just say in general, there's really not a benefit to that. In fact, there is one significant disadvantage of you going ahead and putting them on the deed, and that is they don't enjoy that stepped-up cost basis that they will get if they were to inherit it. So if they get it through a trust, through a transfer on deed death, through your will at your death, their cost basis becomes the market value as of the date of your death, whereas you just make it a gift to them, which you can absolutely do. It would just go against your lifetime exemption of $12 million that you can, make as gifts. There wouldn't be any taxes, but they would keep your original cost basis. So when they go to sell it, the capital gains is going to be calculated based on your original purchase price as opposed to the stepped-up basis that comes through passing as an inheritance.
And that's going to be considerable.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, evidently that's why I was hesitating on doing this. Evidently the Lord is telling me something. All right. Okay. Well, I appreciate your comment. Have a good day.
All right, Claude. God bless you, my friend. Hey, folks, thanks for being along with us today. Bottom line is, I don't have all the answers. I look to God's word for my answers, and I think we each certainly need to do that, be rightly dividing the scriptures, because here's the key. We want to live with a biblical worldview. We want to look at everything, our money, our family, our role in culture and society through the lens of scripture, and that's what we try to do here on American Family Radio. Doesn't mean we're going to get it right all the time. we're certainly going to do our best to be an encouragement to you and to cause you to go back to God's Word to search the Scriptures for yourself. Hey, let me say thanks to my amazing team today. I couldn't do it without them. Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague, thank you for being along with us as well. If you're part of the faith and finance community, you value this program and tune in with regularity, we would invite you to be a supporter of the ministry. It would be a real blessing to us. And right now, during this season, for any gift of any amount, we will send you the brand new book, Free to Follow, from Michael Blue, and our new FaithFi phone wallet that attaches to the back of your phone. Just our way of saying thanks for being a part of the ministry. Hey, may the Lord bless you today. I hope you come back and join us tomorrow. I'll be here, Lord willing, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.